My friend, who once worked at the Liverpool Empire Theatre, found someone's ashes after a show on a seat. Isn't that mad? So, it had been Psychic Sally. Psychic Sally had been doing one of her tours, one of her shows. She told me a lot about Psychic Sally, but I won't go into it. She found the ashes under someone's seat.
Someone took ashes, hopefully, meaning that their spirit would be with them.
Communicate with them. Anyway, she found them and managed to reunite the ashes with the loved one. Like, she
imagine forgetting your ashes.
She was on Radio City and everything for her. Like, imagine getting home realising you'd like left
your husband or your wife.
Left your nan.
Your nan.
Oh my god. Oh shit, left me nan at the theatre. But she was on, yeah. I think theatres are one of the most creepiest places to be on your own. When it's full with a show and it's massive audience, magical. On your own, very creepy.
Fucking creepy. Do you know what? When I was 10 years old, I sung on stage at the Royal Court Theatre with Alvin Stardust.
Yes, Queen.
Yes, with my school choir. And I remember we had to get there really early. Obviously, we had to like go and rehearse and stuff like that. And I remember being there in the school day and just thinking, oh, this is really creepy. Obviously, there was no audience and stuff like that. And then at one point it was just like me and my friend were on the stage, like Alvin Stardust and his people hadn't got there yet. And I think like my teacher had gone to the changing room with some of the boys or something like that. And it was eerie because it's dark and it's cold and it is just eerie. It was very daunting.
Yeah. Oh, I hate things like that. I've been to many theatres as an audience member, but also as a performer, so I've got lots of stories.
How exciting.
Theatres, though, are notoriously haunted, aren't they?
Notoriously. So we're going to be looking at three, which are all just based in Liverpool today. Obviously, Liverpool's a really historic city anyway. Loads of history going on there. And these playhouses, well, these theatres are all quite old as well. So there's lots of, you know, history to go along with them.
Shall we talk a little bit about theatre traditions? Because traditions are very rife.
Yes.
In theatres.
Yes.
Do you know about ghost lights?
Oh no, go on, tell me.
So, do you know when a theatre is closed?
Yeah.
They leave a light on a stand in the centre of the stage, which is called the ghost light.
Oh.
And it's there to lead the way and to light the stage for the spirits in the theatre.
I did not know that.
It's called the ghost light.
That's bizarre. I did not know that.
So that's the superstition around it. Do you want to know the actual fact of why you have a ghost light?
Go on.
It's a union requirement. health and safety. So, because the stage usually is elevated.
Right, okay.
So people don't fall off it. So there's a light in the middle of the stage, you can always see. But whenever a theatre is closed, there will be guaranteed a light on in the middle of that stage. It's called the ghost light. So when all the theatres closed because of COVID, that was like an image of it, the ghost lights being like, we'll leave a light on to always guide you home.
Oh, lovely.
But there's lots of stories about ghost light and ghosts. So what traditions do you know? Tell me the ones you know, because I'd be like, yeah, I know that.
The only tradition I really know for theatres is like the whole Scottish play one, which is like Macbeth.
You can't say Macbeth in
the
theatre.
You can't say it in the theatre, and it's really unlucky to perform it in theatres, and like, especially if you've got the lead role, and you know, like actors have gone like crazy or something, you know, like after playing
lots
that
of people
role.
Have like notoriously died playing that role.
Yeah, like it's been weird, like even people who've just been on the production team, things like that.
There's one that comes to my mind straight away with Macbeth is when someone said Macbeth, and then that night something's happened with the prop swords and swapped out for a real one, or like the tips come off the end
of it,
and has killed one of them. I remember that.
We
should do a whole episode on Macbeth.
Oh yeah, Macbeth in the theatre and all
the Scottish play.
Yes, yeah, well that's what they call it, don't they? They call it the Scottish play instead.
What other traditions do you have?
I don't break a leg is like something, but I don't really know what it's for. I know like you say break a leg and it means like good luck on your show.
So it's bad luck to say good luck, especially on opening night.
Right, okay.
It's the song from the BG. It's bad luck to say good luck on opening night.
So why is it bad luck though to say good luck?
Because it's all superstition, like the whole theatre's, because theatre's so old, it's a superstition. I don't know the ins and outs of why it is bad luck. It just is. It's just, growing up in the theatre, it's just something I was always told. We say break a leg.
Yeah.
Do you know what break a leg means?
No, go on.
So, and I think the meaning comes first before the superstition around it.
Right, okay.
I think people are probably like, oh my God, why are they saying break a leg? And someone's like, it's bad luck, say good luck. And yeah. Like, it's stuck. Break a leg. So, do you know where a curtain traditionally goes up and down in a theatre?
Yes.
The things that attach the curtain to the pole that goes up and down are called legs.
Oh. And
to say to break a leg to someone would mean to physically break one of them. That the curtain would have to go up and down that many times for the bows.
Oh.
Because people were clapping so much that it would break the leg. Because people were clapping and applauding it so much that because traditionally between every bow the curtain goes up and down.
Oh, do you know what? What a fun fact. That's a really fun fact.
Fun facts of Danny Danny.
I love that. That's really good.
There's loads of awesome traditions though. These aren't necessarily scary. Have you heard of the gypsy robe?
No, that's tell a broad, me
that's
right
a Broadway
now.
Tradition.
Tell me right now.
So the gypsy robe, usually, and the opening night, the actual official opening night, not the preview night, they have like the gypsy robe ceremony. I'm not sure like where it all comes from. There's names of why it's called the gypsy robe and stuff, but I just know the tradition is that they'll all stand in a circle, and then traditionally the member of the ensemble with the most credits, so it's not like the leading member, it's the member of the ensemble with the most credits, will wear the gypsy robe and walk around and bless every member of the cast so they'd have a good run. But someone from the cast that was the gypsy robe last comes and brings the robe, and it's like a big ceremony.
Thank God, I did not know.
You can watch them on YouTube, can I show you?
Yeah, I know that it is really, like there's lots of like traditions and things because I've watched like loads of, a lot of Hamilton behind the scenes. Obviously, I'm obsessed with Hamilton. When Colleen Ballinger was on Waitress, she had,
are just a few incarnations of the Gypsy Robe, the name for a garment that's a Broadway institution.
Okay, that's really weird.
Takes us backstage.
6, 7, and 1.
There's another honor bestowed on Broadway's best throughout the year. One you've probably never heard of.
It's my great pleasure to present the Gypsy Robe for Bonnie and Clyde to Ted.
So she's from a previous cast that had it. And they personalize it so that it's got like.
The singers and dancers who travel from show to show and give Broadway its body and soul.
And all that jazz.
On opening night, before the audience have taken their seats, the cast takes the stage in a ritual more than 60 years old.
The Gypsy Robe is awarded to a member of the chorus who has the most Broadway musical chorus credits. Uh-huh. The honored gypsy puts on the robe, circles the stage, and the show is blessed.
Isn't that funny?
Do you know what? I really like that, and I like that it's not given to like, you know, like one of the main stars, because I say this all the time, the ensemble are that like the heart of all the shows, aren't they? If you don't have the ensemble, you haven't got a show. And especially obviously I'm talking about Hamilton again, duh.
Alexander Hamilton.
But that show relies on the ensemble so much to make the music sound as good
every
as it
show
does,
does
and things like that. And it's just beautiful. Like I remember my fiance Jack said to me, my fiance Jack said to me, if you could be any, you know, character in Hamilton, because I'm obsessed with it, what would you be? And I was like, oh, I'd be that member of the ensemble because she plays the bullet and I absolutely love it. It's just amazing. And it's like dead symbolic, like she gets closer and closer to Alexander Hamilton as the play goes on, and it's just dead cool. And he was like, what, you wouldn't want to be like one of the Schuyler sisters or whatever? And I was like, nah, I'd be the bullet all day every day, because she's always on stage, gets to be on stage the most.
The ensemble maker. Let's delve into some local
theatres. Yeah, so me and Dean have been in all these theatres, so I thought it was quite fitting to be able to actually talk about theatres that we've been in, and maybe we might have experienced spooky going on.
Well, we have experienced
that.
Did you just feel that?
I felt the energy.
Did you? Like, something came upon
chill.
Us.
Chill. Yeah.
the room happens changed, exactly. The atmosphere changed. Always happens. I feel like it's like we invite something in, isn't it?
Every time?
Yeah, and there's that thing in your back garden, but I won't talk about it. It's fine.
Please don't say that. Don't say stuff like that.
I'm not, no, mate. Like, but fine.
When contractors were refurbishing the Liverpool Playhouse in 1999, the workmen famously downed all of the tools because they were so scared to continue after numerous odd happenings and sightings of what they believed to be ghosts. The electricians reported several creepy incidences of like whilst they were working on the wiring, including taps being switched on, which that is scary because that's like poltergeist stuff, like them being able to physically move things and do stuff like that. Like, I've seen things, obviously we've talked about this before, but you know, a ghost has never like moved something and, you know, like put the tap on.
That would
be
worse.
Like, that would shit me up so bad. So that is really terrifying. There was a presence in the basement and heavy doors that were difficult to open were being slammed shut. So that is really like saying like that there's, you know, there's a very big presence
there.
The
Playhouse is so old as well. It's been there
really
forever.
Really old. Yeah. It is a stunning theatre as well, isn't it? It's lovely.
Edwardian, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's really old. And it's like, you can just feel that it's old when you go in there, can't you? And it's got like, it's such a strange structure, I think, as yeah. well, like the way it is.
The actual theatre itself, because they've like attached like a modern bit on where mm-hmm. the box office and the bar yeah. and stuff is, and it's like glass. But like the actual theatre, because that's that there. I know this is not a visual medium, but that was like, that's where you'd go in there when it was the theatre itself yeah. before they attached
before
that bit
they
on.
Had like the refurbishments yeah. and whatnot. Yeah, so it's very
they might have been the refurbishments
like,
where that happened.
Oh yeah, yeah, that will be. And then they've got like the basement-y bit at the bottom, you know, like where sometimes the actors will come and no, it's like it's like a bar and you can go in there right before the show.
Oh, it's lovely.
And
yeah.
like the actors will go in there after the show sometimes. I met Matthew Kelly there one time.
Q&A.
With the amount of paranormal stories that are linked to the theatre, things unearthly may well have been going on. So, this brings us to our main ghost.
Hi, I'm playing the role of main ghost. yeah. That's like a proper ensemble part, yeah. isn't it? Talk about ensemble.
Yeah, main ghost.
I'd be playing the role of ghost for.
Hi, I'm the main ghost. So, our main ghost who haunts the Playhouse is called Elizabeth, or Liz.
Liz.
And she was actually a cleaner at the venue before it was granted its license. And in 1897, when it was a music hall and a variety theatre, Elizabeth was actually on stage going about her normal cleaning duties when the fire iron came down on stage and struck her. So that's like when it was like a freak accident, isn't it? That's like, oh.
Do you know what the fire iron is?
What is it?
So, do you know,
like, tell me what it is.
So, do you know when you go to a theatre, they'll have a safety curtain?
Yeah.
The safety curtain's a legal requirement by law. Mm. That's why it has to come down. They have to show you that they've got one.
Yeah.
Because the safety curtain used to be made of iron.
Oh, right, okay.
And it comes from when theatres used to have their lights from candlelight magnified.
Oh, so yeah.
So it was a legal requirement to have a safety curtain on the stage that would fall to protect the audience.
Yeah.
So they were heavy and fireproof. And obviously fireproof back in the day was metal or metal sheets.
Oh, God.
So I know this is fairly a modern story, but because it's such an old theatre, it probably still had the original safety curtain. But safety curtains are still a thing today. They're just the material today, though, the fire retardant material.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they always come down during the interval, don't
but
they?
But it's their legal requirement, they have to show you. That's why they come down during the interval.
Ah, that's a good one. So,
I'm full of fun facts
today. You are full of fun facts. I'm so glad we're doing this. So good. So, she fell into the orchestra pit and then broke her neck. So, it wasn't actually the fact she was struck by the fire iron, it was the fact that she was like pushed into the orchestra pit and broke her neck.
That's quite a drop as well.
It is quite a drop. I remember seeing I remember it being such a thing, obviously, when I was 10 and went and we were on stage. Actually, quite unsafe now that I realised we were left unattended on the stage as children. And I remember looking and thinking, oh my God. Like, because it's a big drop.
Usually, like, it's different for most theatres, but usually there is, it's usually about a floor, if not more, maybe a floor and a half to the orchestra pit. But usually there's like a rostrum in there that holds the conductor up so his head's just above the stage because he sees us both, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Or she.
Yes.
Or they.
They.
Correct.
It was funny the way we both went,
oh, they. Look at us practicing good inclusive language.
Despite her death being recorded as an accident, the fire iron at the time was water powered and needed someone to operate it.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth's ghost is said to haunt the theatre's gallery level, specifically seat A5, which is always cold and spooky.
I've been in that seat.
No, you haven't, have you?
Yeah.
How do you know that you've been in A5?
Because I've been in near enough every seat in the Empire.
No, this isn't the Empire.
In the Playhouse, sorry. Let me Google where I can tell you from the map episode.
See, I've not been in the gallery. I've always been in the stalls.
Say the gallery's the best view.
A lot of people say that to me. Isn't it benches? Or is that the very top?
That's right up, yeah.
Yeah.
The top one. The dress circle. The dress circle. He's got three benches at the back. I watched Romeo and Juliet on them benches.
No.
Not good.
Not good.
It was an awful Romeo and Juliet. That's the only play I've ever walked out at the interval.
You walked out. Was last seen sitting there by actress Pauline Daniels in 1996, so she has been actually sighted in that seat.
Oh, so I got it the wrong way around. The dress circle is the first balcony.
Right.
Sorry, of course it is, and then the gallery is the top one. But I have sat in nearly every seat in there. The dress circle is the best view for the Playhouse, by the way.
Okay, well, I'll switch.
Next.
Well, so Pauline Daniels has actually seen Elizabeth in this seat that she's like known to sit in. So that she is the resident ghost.
Do you know as soon as it's open again,
we're gonna go there and sit there.
Yeah,
and sit there. Yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
We'll record it, regardless of what's on. We'll just go and book a ticket.
We'll just go. So, tour guides at the theatre used to talk about a grey lady who wandered up and down the corridor outside what is now the upstairs rehearsal room. It wasn't necessarily true, but there is a grey lady who haunts the theatre. So, the ghost of an elegant upper-class woman who used to come and see plays on her own in the early days of the theatre, which was kind of unheard of at the time. Like, women didn't really, you know, like, go and do that on their own. The tour guide say to look out for her wandering from the stalls coffee bar area, so obviously what it is now, into the stalls seating area wearing a grey coat and a hood. But, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily even think it was a ghost. You'd just think it was a woman, wouldn't you? Unless she looks ghostly.
She looks dated, mate.
She looks dated, yeah. So, also, she's seen pacing up and down by the stalls, and wandering into the coffee bar area, dressed in a frock coat and a wow. However, there's also a well-to-do gentleman who was seen pacing up and down the stalls and wandering into the coffee bar area, dressed in a frock coat and a top hat, whose daughter apparently ran away to join the theatre in the early 1900s. Apparently, he's still looking for her all these years later in his phantom form. I don't know where that story comes from, but apparently that's the story behind it.
Well, he's not looking very hard if he's in the Playhouse.
Well, maybe that was the theatre she apparently ran away to.
She would have been in a touring company.
Yeah. I mean,
unless repertoire was still a thing.
This is just what...
Sorry, I'm just debunking it all.
This is just what the tour guides have said, okay?
Tour guides trying to keep the job making things up.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely believe the one about Liz there.
Oh, yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Because she was properly, fully killed. Like, the fact that it had to be water-powered, hello. Like, she was murdered. And
how do you think it was water-powered?
Because I'm guessing you have to put, like, water in it, you know, like, to make it go round. You know, like, kind of like
a little... A water wheel.
Yeah, like a water wheel. because that's what they use at like mining companies and stuff, like massive water wheels, don't they? I went to see one not so long ago.
So do you think there's like a tap over it and then it's like, yeah.
So turn the tap on.
The ghost.
But, and then if you think about all the workers that dropped the tools and left, what was being turned on?
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, right. So Liz was murdered.
Tell me about the Empire.
So, the Liverpool Empire.
I love it.
I love the years. But the ghost that most employees have cited is that of a young Victorian girl, aged about 10. And honestly, if you do ask people in the Liverpool Empire who've worked there for a long time, because there's people in the Empire, I feel like I know them because I've gone that
often. Oh, yeah. And they've been there the whole of your life.
Yeah, like year on year. Like, I've got like pretend names for some of them, you know, like things like that, because they're always there. And that, you know, because obviously they've worked there for like 20 years.
I went to my friend Steph's 18th, right? You know, obviously she worked there for like 3 years, like, and her brother worked there and her sister worked there, maybe. I don't know, not worked there. But. And they were all there, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Because they were like celebrities.
Oh.
But the staff there are so lovely, and if I know them, yeah, it's on their staff, they look after me like, come on, I'll move you to the front.
They are really good, the theatre staff, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, over a 40-year period, she has been appearing late at night in the stalls bar area when the building is being closed.
So that's the front of the house?
Yeah, and is often crying.
Oh.
I know, which is sad. Sometimes she is seen being dragged away by a man with dark eyes. Sometimes she's seen being dragged away by a man with dark eyes and disappears when they're approached. Nobody is certain who she is, but rumour has it that she fell to her death from the circle into the stalls.
That's so high. Just sounds like a shock.
I'm going to say it again anyway because I've ruined it now. Nobody is certain who she is, but rumour has it that she fell to her death from the circle into the stalls.
And that's dead high.
Really high. When a previous theatre held the building that is now the Empire. But that is really high, and I've thought to myself so many times,
I shit
my
myself.
God, imagine if someone fell from there, like, that's so high.
Do you know, if you I'd never sit up there because it upsets me because of how high it is.
Yeah,
like I always sit in the stalls in the Empire because that's really high. But I took a school trip there to see Blood Brothers, and we were at the very back of
High, isn't
and
it?
I was like
really
get, trying to get up the stairs with the kids, and I was like, oh,
no,
my
do you
God,
know where it's
high.
Really? So yeah, so basically, apparently she fell from like a really high, you know, height.
a really high height. You know.
But what gets me is, well, why is someone like ushering her away? You know, like it makes sense that she'd be crying.
Maybe it's the person that pushed her.
Yeah, maybe she didn't fall. Maybe she pushed.
Because I do think it would be hard to fall off there unless.
Yeah, because you'd have to climb up. Because I've sat on the front row of the dress circle before.
You'd have to climb up and over.
And you'd have to climb up and over because I sit my drink on top of it and stuff like that, when I'm, which is why I love it, cause it's like a free table.
And they come along and like, and take your drink off now.
Take your drink off now. Yeah.
So you don't swill the people below you, mate.
Yeah. Throwing stuff over.
And that
that's
was
what I get as well. I'm like, God, what if there's some like sick psychopaths sat there and like, you know, like puts a bloody, you know, like puts anything over there. One ghost that has now left the building is that of the Black Phantom, who dwelt in the dressing room at stage right. When the door was opened, a black shape would be reflected in the mirror directly opposite. The room was always dark and cold, and for this reason, performers would actually refuse to use it. After the building was refurbished in 1998, it ceased to be a dressing room and is now just a large wardrobe.
Questions?
Go on.
The ghost that's not there anymore, where did it go? What happened? I want that story.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, why is there no info?
But I'm guessing it's left because there's been refurbishments, and now that it's not a dressing room, people don't see it in the mirror.
Yeah.
So it's probably still there.
But not.
But just not being seen.
Do you believe in that thing?
Thing.
About energy,
yeah,
attaching itself to tectonic plates.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Being able to, like, see the energy and things like that.
Yeah, and, like, it attaches itself to, like, yeah, I believe that too. Like an imprint.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
We'll do a Freaky Friday on
TikTok. That could easily be what that is.
Just like a, like, this is a really bad analogy. But do you remember when you had a floppy disk?
Yeah.
And, like, you'd have to erase it to put something else on. But whatever you had erased under it didn't ever quite go away.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, like, if you like, put, like, a 30-second song on there because that's all you'd fit, sometimes you could hear the other song that was on there.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, you it's just like that. Well, I don't really remember
floppy disks.
Floppy disks, no.
I see the library and spent £2 for a floppy disk to save me work on.
But I trust you. I trust that that was what happened.
Floppy disks. Remember when we had floppy disks?
The fact that they're called a floppy disk is so funny.
Give us that floppy disk.
Welcome to the stage. Floppy disk.
Please welcome to the stage. Floppy disk.
Oh, this is so funny. Right, so the Empire's apparition, Les the Painter.
Les
the Painter.
Is notorious. Steph has told me a lot about Les. Notorious.
Oh, I like the name as well, Les the Painter. It's like, please welcome to the stage, Les the Painter.
Sounds like a serial killer.
Okay. Alright.
Paints pictures with the blood of his victims. That's why it's called The Painter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like in our Jimmy Hoffa episode when we said, I heard you paint houses. It means
a hedge paint canvas.
Okay, so Les the Painter was the man who decided to come back and haunt his old place of work after his death.
Did Jeffrey Dahmer do that?
His place of work? I don't know.
No, paint with blood.
Probably.
I've just listened to it as a true crime about someone that painted with blood.
Or maybe it was Jeffrey Dahmer. He definitely did some really messed up things.
Sorry, go on. I won't interrupt again. I keep
stop it. And he was seen in the actors' changing room area as an actor. I mean, well, I'm not an actor, but if I was an actor, I definitely wouldn't want to be seeing Les the Painter in my changing room. That's somewhere where you want to be zen. You want to be getting ready for your show. Positive things to be going on, not scary.
Do you know, in my experience, when most ghostly things happen in a theatre?
In the changing room.
Mid-show.
Oh.
When you're the only one in the dressing room and everyone else is on stage.
See, that's when you don't want to have any ghostly goings on, because you're about to go on stage and that would just totally shit you up.
But, and that's, we'll save this for another episode because we're doing haunted theatres at the minute, but this ties into haunted theatres. We'll do deaths in theatres.
Yeah, definitely, because it's some crazy.
There's a lot of crazy, crazy deaths in theatres.
Well, I mean, the one that we already talked about, they were both pretty crazy, and they were both kind of murders, so... Yeah.
There's one, right, where the safety mechanism on... Do you know in Jesus Christ Superstar? Judas traditionally hangs himself at the end.
Yeah.
The safety mechanism didn't work, and the actor was hung.
Oh my god, that's terrifying. Do you know, I remember being so shocked when I saw Jesus Christ Superstar and seeing Judas. Does he hang himself from a cross? Or is there something to do with him being on a cross?
Maybe depending on the production.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I saw the one with Tim Minchin.
But Jesus is on the cross?
Yeah, I saw the one where Tim Minchin plays.
Did you see it live?
Got it on DVD, haven't I?
Oh, I've got it on DVD.
Bloody love it. But
that one's
one
a very modernised version. Yeah. Does he not shoot himself in that one?
No, he's definitely hung. And I thought it was from a cross. Maybe I'm just like getting it mixed up with Jesus there.
Jesus is on the cross.
Yeah, but I remember him hanging himself and thinking, oh, how have they done that? You know, like, that's shocking.
Yeah,
that's
shocking.
Like really scary, you know. And like now I know how like the fake hangings on like films and TV and stuff, I've seen how it's done. But like when I watched it like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was really shocking. I was like, oh my god.
That was only 8 years ago that came out on DVD.
Oh, well, whenever. Do you know what I mean? Les number two, because there's another one.
Les not the painter. Les the decorator.
Les the decorator, yeah. Is a permanent fixture at the Royal Court Theatre. So here, it is generally accepted that he's like the resident ghost in the form of an ex-caretaker. So, Les the caretaker.
Les the caretaker. I work with a Les the caretaker.
Amazing. This is Les the ex-caretaker.
Oh, Les the ex-caretaker.
Les the ex-caretaker.
Please welcome to the stage, Les the ex-caretaker. Not as catchy.
It's not, is it? I like Les the painter best, I think. So, it's accepted, in fact, that he comes up regularly in conversation. So, for example, if a pot of paint would get knocked over, someone would say, like, who worked there, oh, that must be Les.
That's so just a scapegoat.
It's a scapegoat, massively. Like, to blame on, you know,
Art a ghost. Les.
That must have been Les. Yeah, it wasn't me. it's a story that sort of backs him up. The backstory here is basically the fact that he's trapped in the theatre forever is what people think. And it's because he actually... All these deaths are really tragic. So he died.
Theatre deaths are.
Yeah, he died. Like, they're really dramatic. You know, like, pardon the pun. he died on the roof. And he was clearing out the grids on an icy day when he slipped and broke his leg. Break a leg.
Oh. Throwback.
But then, that's how he died. And I'm pretty shocked that he didn't die from falling off the roof. Because that's hard.
Did something close behind him? Is that...
No. He died of exposure, and over the last 20 years, there's been loads of sightings of him. So he must have...
So no one found him. I remember
this. It was cold. So obviously, he's froze to death pretty much, which is just... How sad is that? Like, that's horrible. But yeah, so he was an ex-caretaker. Apparently, he was quite friendly and stuff, so he's not like a really scary ghost that's haunting him. But... You know, he's there.
Oh, well, that's
good, lovely. Knocking bits of paint.
Do you reckon there's a secret order of Les's? Like, Les, and they all have nicknames.
Les the painter.
Les the caretaker. Les the bar person.
Les the librarian. Les the post office.
Les the rare.
I don't know, maybe. Les is one of those names that I think, if you think, like, if someone said to me, what do you think Les's job is? I would probably say something like a decorator.
Les is working class.
It's working man, isn't it? The working man.
Yeah. What does Les
doing
do?
Doing those jobs. The plumber.
Me husband Les.
The electrician.
He's an electrician.
Yeah.
Good with his hands. He can do anything for. Yeah.
Les is like a good with their hands sort of name, isn't it?
Les.
Right. So I'm gonna take us to our last stop. Around these theatre tours.
Ooh.
So the last theatre that we're going to be looking at in Liverpool is the Everyman Theatre. A theatre that we're both really familiar with as well. We've both seen productions there.
And before the refurb, I performed at the Everyman.
Yeah.
Before the refurb, it was a very old theatre and very creepy. It was creepier. The Everyman was a theatre where you had to sit on benches. The seats were benches before the refurb.
Yeah, well, I remember when I went to school, I went to see Hansel and Gretel, which was hilarious, but one of the best plays I've ever seen. And that was like on benches and stuff like that.
It's an in-the-round theatre, fun fact.
It's lovely.
Often portrayed as frust, though. Sorry, that was a fun drama teacher.
I was like, what?
Thrust is when the audience covers three sides.
That's why I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I knew what you meant at the start, and then when you said thrust,
so
was like...
in the round is where they're around them, all the four sides.
Well, that's what I liked about it, because you've got quite a good seat, you know, like, no matter where you are, sort of thing.
When they do their rep, they have a rep company. Usually their rep stuff, they utilise the in the round, but... There is now, after the refurb, it's usually in frost and there's a removable wall. Where's the backstage? But they bring in the wall and things. I've sat that side, it's really good.
Bring on the wall.
Bring on the wall. Les the wall.
Les the wall. Right, so we're taking ourselves to Hope Street, which is where the Everyman is. And this one is about something that smells a little strange. So, have you ever had any unpleasant smells when you've been in the Everyman?
Not really.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little story, Dean.
Tell me a little story.
So, this is a building with a history, like we said, and there's lots of traces of the original chapel building that was converted to then become a theatre. So, this theatre is... fucking old. It used to be a chapel, you know. So again, there's going to be lots of history with this one.
And it's massive, you know. They've got loads of rehearsal rooms and they've got a second black box theatre.
It looks very big from the outside, you know, like when you're going into it. I've always thought, God, it looks absolutely ginormous, you know.
And then the theatre's actually quite small and intimate.
So, and I've always thought, like, that's odd. But now I know.
Mm-hmm. The more you know.
The more you know. So, shadows and ghostly footsteps seem to be the norm for places like the Everyman. But it's also got a male malevolence that leaves behind an unpleasant aroma.
Oh.
A stinky ghost.
A stinky, stinky ghost. Stinky ghost. What does it stink of?
So, the ghost that smells of wee. So, wee is in urine. So, yeah, that really isn't a good smell. So,
oh, piss.
Basically,
smells like
think
piss.
Of being in like a men's urinal.
I do smell that sometimes in there.
Well, I'm guessing in the urinal you would, yeah.
Yeah, but like in the theatre sometimes.
In the actual genuine theatre, you're like, ugh. And that's the thing, it's like, that's a weird smell to just smell it in
there. But sometimes you just think it's the show, because sometimes they often use scents. Like when I went and seen Sweeney Todd, like they have the smell of pies, bacon.
Yeah, oh, I love stuff like that, you know. I love that. So... this has been such a big problem that the manager actually at one point had to fumigate the stairs, and it still smells. Like, people will still, you know, like, complain about it at some point. Like, that, like, sort of smell of wee doesn't quite go away. And obviously it really is a problem, because they've had to actually fumigate it. So this male ghost haunts the area at the back of the auditorium and the men's toilets, and leaves behind a really awful stench. So if this ghost has been around, you know, because you smell him before you see him. He hasn't been seen for quite some time, but he has been heard. So staff have been reporting shadows in the men's toilets, a last thing at night when they're locking up, which that is terrifying. If anyone was like, yeah, you're on the late night duty, I'd be like,
I think that.
No,
that's the other Les.
That's the other Les.
That's like the night shift.
Yeah. That's the night shift.
That's the night shift.
But there's no one there when, like, they look and hear these noises, see these shadows. Then, as they make their way to the exit doors at the back of the auditorium, there's the sound of hand dryers switching on and lights flashing on and off in there.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's dodgy stuff going on in the toilets.
Well.
Wow.
No comment.
I think the fact that it's happening at night when there isn't anyone there is the thing spooky. That's making that
There's
spooky.
Lots of Most Haunted, isn't there, in Liverpool theatres? Mm. You can watch Most Haunted and then you go in them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and
there's one in the Everyman.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me. So, all the electricity is actually has been turned off from the sound room for the building being locked up at night. So, basically, it literally can't be the electrics being dodgy for the dryers and the lighting.
Because they have to turn them off?
It's turned off. It's not on. So, that like, proper shakes me up. Like, that's weird. So basically, when you are in any of these Liverpool theatres next, I would definitely say, you know, just look out for things. So, like, for instance, now I'm thinking, God, have I seen, like, Les the painter or, you know, Les the ex-caretaker before? Because you would just think, like, oh, they're just doing their job.
Les the painter?
That's Les the painter. You know, like, things are, I think it's a bit creepy. Even if they were walking around in, like, Edwardian clothing, I might just be like, they're just wearing weird clothes.
Oh, they're doing a bit of audience interaction.
What's going on there.
I hope I get picked.
Around a theatre.
Yeah, you're not.
That wouldn't seem weird, would it? So.
You just think, oh, this must be
possible. Or like a little Victorian girl, like in the playhouse. Or, you know, like with the woman who sits in seat A5, you'd just be like, that's weird.
I had, this is a secondhand story.
Oh.
But I had a person. Do you know what Site Specific Theatre is, or Promenade Theatre?
Why do I feel like I know what that is?
So, Promenade is where you move about and you go to locations, and it's a
I've done that location. In the Dell?
Yeah. I had Promenade and like immersive location based performances, they're good. If you ever get a chance to see Alice Underground in London, in the tunnels in London, amazing. You literally get transported to Wonderland.
Oh yes, please.
Best show I've ever seen in my life, Alice Underground.
Oh no.
You can I give you the premise of it quick, just because I like talking about it? You're split up, you're sorted into four different groups, and what story you get depends on what group you're in, and you're sorted by playing cards.
Oh, that's fun.
So you go in, and you go in, and you, before the show starts, you're in Carol's attic, where he writes, and then suddenly a bookshelf falls down, and you go through this rabbit hole, but it's made of book pages, and then you're in there, and it's like, and you see Alice falling deeper and deeper and deeper. And the first thing you do is this: you go to this room where you have to eat something or drink something, and depending on your choice, you split into two groups. And then you get given cards, and depending on your suit, you split into four groups. But it's all about how the suits are trying to overthrow the Queen. So depending on what suit you are, is your attitude towards the Queen. So if you're like the Hearts, you're in favour of the Queen, you like the Queen. But if you're like the Spades, you're trying to overthrow the Queen. So you all get a different story depending on what suit you are. It's really clever. And you're going about all different things and like dead good. And you meet different characters. Like there's one where you meet the Mock Turtle, and it, like you walk into this room and it's just flooded, and he's there in a little boat in the middle. And you realise you're like on a raft. Boss. And the Mad Hatter's Tea Party is the only scene in the whole thing where all four groups come together. And because it's in like disused railway tunnels, it's on a train track, and you're sat at a train, obviously without the carriage on. It's like a train wheels and like a platform. You're sat on the train, and they run up and down it.
That's insane! I love that. I need to go see that. We need to go and do that. That would be fun.
It's not on at the minute, but it will come back. It comes on a lot. It's by a company called The Terrible Infants.
That just sounds.
They do a lot of really good immersive stuff, but. The point of me telling the story was that my friend went to see an immersive production, and it was immersive. She went to a pub where she thought it was going to start. She went to the wrong pub and she sat for an hour and a half just watching a pub, thinking she was part of the play.
That's literally the funniest thing.
And she only realised after the play had finished, the actual play, that her friend ringer was like, "I thought you were coming, where are you?" And she was like,
I'm here.
I'm watching it.
I'm watching it right now.
So, but that's immersive.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is so funny. The next time you're in the theatre, just have a little look around you, because you never know.
When you get that chill, that shiver, and you feel like you're alone, even though you're surrounded by lots and lots of people, have a little look, and you never know.
Who might be behind you?
So today's episode has been all about theatres, and at the minute I just want to shine some light on what's happening with the UK's theatres and the theatres of the world. Obviously, due to the COVID-19 global pandemic, theatres have had to have a massive shutdown. Now in the UK, theatres are allowed to reopen with social distancing, but it's not financially viable for these theatres to open with such a small audience. Theatre always signs away, so there's outdoor performances and local performances, drive-through performances, so please go and support. But that means lots of freelance people are out of work and are struggling to survive. So there is a fund called the Theatre Support Fund, which you can find by Googling it. Lots of big names have put their weight behind it. They're selling merchandise. The merchandise is themed around The Show Must Go On, and The Show Must Go On is spelt out using letters from each different show poster on the West End currently.
Aww.
And you get face masks, pens, books, t-shirts, but the money, the profit that's made goes towards supporting freelancers and artists in the performing arts. Amazing. So please check that out. Do you know what?
What?
This episode has been sponsored by the best company we've had on this podcast to date.
Oh, she's amazing. I love her. So we've been sponsored by Classroom Dreams by Mrs. B, and she basically makes these gorgeous little story spoons or story stones.
I'm obsessed with
which
them.
Are just fabulous, aren't they? We've got these little Winnie the Pooh ones. Oh,
they're so cute.
And they're like wooden spoons, but they're a little bit smaller than normal ones. But basically, as you're reading stories and telling stories with whoever you tell stories to at home, like, so for me, it's my niece, and that's why I chose to get Winnie the Pooh ones, because she loves Winnie the Pooh, and we read it together. And it's been really sweet reading it with her and holding the spoons, and she'll speak as one character and I'll speak as another character, and it's really, really cute and it's lovely, and it's just a really nice gift even to get for people who, like, I get these for my friends who, like, you know, like, their favourite book might be like Alice in Wonderland, and so I get them with those characters the book, on. Yeah, it complements the book, looks lovely, stunning. And it's really good as well if you know any friends that are like primary school teachers or friends with children, you know, things like that. Just things to, like, get them to enjoy reading, you know, like, to make it.
Well, with my teacher hat on, it just, like, it helps develop oracy because they're speaking the parts of the characters. It's also developing the confidence because they get to act it out and speak up.
Yeah.
And it starts to develop really important drama skills as well. Exactly. The ability to improvise and the ability to hold an audience. I love them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really good for those things. And if we think about the education as well that a lot of children have missed out on, obviously, over, like, the past 6 months, this is a way to, like, you know, try and build that confidence back up for them by telling stories and things like that. Me and Dean both absolutely, like, that's why we've done the theatre episode today, because we both absolutely love things like the theatre. So it's really important to be able to be a storyteller, because it's, I think that's, like, the best profession.
One of the most important skills. You will tell stories at every point in your life. So start today with your story spoons from
Classroom Dreams by Miss B. And you can find her at Classroom Dreams by Miss B on Instagram to go and order your custom spoons. It's not just, you know, she doesn't just do a select few. I just asked her to do Winnie the Pooh and she did them. So she's brilliant. If you want to see pictures of them, go on her Instagram. You can go see the Winnie the Pooh ones that she did for us. Over on my Instagram at @MissWaldron_. She's fantastic.
Thank you very much for listening today. As always, I've been your co-host, Les the podcaster. And I've been joined by my fellow co-host, Les the lecturer.
Les the other podcaster, the other person, the note maker. Les the note maker.
Les. So, have a nice weekend, Les.
Have a nice weekend. Yeah, we hope you enjoyed this Freaky Friday. Next week's Freaky Friday,
we've got guests.
We've got guests. Which is incredible.
First guests on the pod.
They are pod sisters, pod family. I don't know. Other people that do podcasts.
Sisters from another pod. No, why are we saying sisters? Let's not gender this.
Yeah, let's not gender this.
Siblings from another pod.
Siblings.
People from a prior pod.
People from another pod. Yes, so we have got the people from Nopeville podcast to talk with us about
sleep paralysis,
which I'm excited to talk about this, because this is a phenomenon that shakes me up.
I'm lucky enough to never have experienced it, but I'm very excited to hear about your experiences. I've experienced it,
and it's disgusting. Do you know,
I'll go home tonight and listen to it.
It's horrific. It's horrible. There's so many things that I do now that I change in my life to make sure I prevent from having sleep paralysis, because it's that scary.
I'm so excited to learn about it.
Yeah. If you want to know kind of what sleep paralysis is like, as, like, a little prior to watching or listening to our podcast next week, go and watch Haunting of the Hill House on Netflix, because I've never seen a more accurate depiction of sleep paralysis than that in my life. It's terrifying.
That's your homework. It needs to be done by next Friday, okay? Otherwise, we're going to tell your parents or guardians or whoever looks after you.
So until then,
stay curious
and stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Bear production, and our show tune is Half Mystery by Les the Composer.